Jeremiah 32. We'll be in Jeremiah 32 this morning. And I want to talk about, is there anything too big for God? You know, as Christians, we throw around the word faith pretty loosely, don't we? Really? Got faith in this, faith in that, and I believe, and you need to believe, and we're great about preaching that to other people, even ourselves. But what is faith, really? Faith's more than just a word. Faith's more than just a Christian slogan. Faith means something, real faith. And what real spiritual faith is, because if you read Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you have to see it first, it's not faith. We know that. What does true spiritual faith produce? It produces, and I want you to hear this morning, spiritual faith produces an inward conviction for an outward result. That's what it produces, if it's really faith. There's an inward conviction to believe in something that's going to produce an outward result. And that's hard sometimes because we only want the outward result. Without waiting and without believing and without trusting. And as we learn to truly trust in God, not trust in what somebody tells us, but trust in what God tells us. Not trust in what people tell us, but trust in what God tells us. See, trusting God is harder than we realize, too, because we say we trust in God, but when things do not happen on our timetable, we begin to question, is God listening? Does God understand? Am I getting through? And here's what the devil does. Now, let me get this down this morning. Because I got to get this word out. So I hope you ate breakfast this morning. Here's people and Christians, spiritual people. The first thing that'll happen to a spiritual saved by grace but people is, I'm not praying hard enough. I'm not fasting hard enough, long enough. I'm not pleading the blood loud enough. I'm not beating the drums hard enough. If I'd have swung from the chandelier and shouted in the Holy Ghost, God would have heard my prayer. And what happens is the enemy begins to put back that guilt and condemnation that we have anything to do with it to begin with. And we don't. Jesus paid the price. I'm a preacher that believes in the finished work of the cross, not the finished work of me. The cross did finish me. I am complete through the blood of Jesus. Nothing else needs to be added, and I can't do nothing about it. What Jesus did for me, it's an insult to our Savior to think that we can add one thing to what He's done at Calvary. We can't. And so where does our faith lie in? What He done for us? Not we do for ourselves. And I'm tired of that guilt and that pity party that Christians have. You know, I just didn't pray through long enough. Look. Our faith is not in our prayer. Our faith is not even in our confession. Our faith is in our God. Our faith is in God. You said it. God, You'll do it. And I'm going to wait until it comes to pass. My faith's not based on what I feel or what I see or what I taste or what I smell. My faith is based on who You are. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no ors. It's based on who You are. Period. Now, man will try to encourage us with our faith. Sometimes defaultly, and put that something that we got to do to get it built up. But man, in my faith, really in God, it can't get any bigger than that. That is bigger than God. And so our faith has to be in Him and not in us. And I've seen that through the years of Christian walks, Christian teaching, religiosity, where it comes back to us. How many times heard somebody say, well, you didn't have enough faith, you'd have been healed. You didn't pray hard enough for that would have happened. You're not living right enough for that would have took place. I want to make this clear. Now, this drives Pentecostal people crazy. I have nothing to do with my salvation. Nothing. I have nothing to do with keeping my salvation. Remember what Paul said? He says he is able to keep that. Talking about God. That which I have committed unto Him. So if I have committed my soul unto Jesus, it's not mine to keep. God's got it. God will keep it forevermore. It is in His hands from that moment on. not to ever be brought back. And spiritual people are the worst for trying to bring you back into something God's took you out of. They want to keep you in Egypt when God's brought you out. Don't go back to Egypt. God's delivered you and brought you out. The precious blood is enough to seal us for the rest of our days. I have nothing to do with my born-again experience. Jesus called my name. And he took my hand and he lifted me up and says, you are mine forevermore. So I'm saying all this to say this. Where does our faith lie? For so many years, our faith lied on what we do. Oh, my God, I drunk a beer. I ain't faithful. Oh, God, I had sex. I ain't faithful. Oh, God, my hair's past my shoulders. Oh, God, I got an earring. I'm a heathen, hellbound. Oh, God, I looked at that woman, and I shouldn't have looked at her that way. I had me some bad thoughts. Oh, my God. Lord, I'm not really yours, am I? You know what all this does? It makes us, we live, as Christians, we live a life of sin conscience. Instead of righteousness conscience. We need to be righteousness conscience. I've been made right standing with God through Jesus Christ. And because of that sin conscience all the time, we fail to see what God's really done. We think we got to help God alone. We think we got to do something to encourage him or help our journey or help someone get to heaven separately than just saying trust in Jesus. He is enough. Now, it's all through Scriptures, church. It's all through Scriptures. The grace and the eternal of Jesus Christ and through the blood and what he did for us. The finished work of the cross. Is there anything too big for God? And I was thinking this yesterday over here as I was preparing. I was thinking, what's the greatest test of faith we've had as humanity? Salvation. Now, think about this. You were a heathen at one time. And I won't call no names, not to make anybody feel bad today. Gordon. You were a heathen at one time. You were lost, incomplete, living life for yourself, fully living. If the flesh wanted it, you did it. If the flesh desired it, you had it. If the eye saw it, it took it. That's how you lived. So then somebody comes along and you hear the word of God. You hear somebody preach Jesus. That he can save you and change you and you'll never go to hell because of this one man. Then all of a sudden, what happens? The conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You fall to your knees, wherever you're at, and you cry out, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I know you are the Lord God Almighty. You are the Messiah, and I ask you to come into my life, change me, restore me, break me, forgive me, cleanse me, and live inside of me forevermore. And then all of a sudden, we feel that come in, and we feel different and clean, and we know that we found Jesus. Now we know we'll never taste hell, we'll never taste death. Now if we have enough faith to escape the flames of hell through Jesus Christ, is there anything else bigger than that? Nothing. Sickness, disease, doesn't compare to death and hell, does it? Broken marriage, broken finances, broken home, rebellious children, you know, strife in your home or where you're at or tormenting demons or discouragement or fear. None of that compares. If I had the faith to believe that Jesus saved me from hell and death, how much more should I believe he could do all things? So our faith has to be in him and not in us. We place too much faith in what we do to get God's attention instead of what he's already done to get the attention of the world. Because at Calvary, the world changed. I mean, he divided time from B.C. to A.D., people still keep time based on what Christ did. The whole world changed. The whole dynamic changed. Faith is an inner conviction of an outward result, that we are expecting something to be produced by what we're feeling. To some, it's called la-la world. Some can't accept faith. You know, it's easy to have faith things we can see. If you look at this church today, this roof, it looks pretty solid. I don't think one of you have looked at that roof today. Not one of you has looked up there and thought, man, I hope this thing holds up this morning. It looks solid. There's no sags, no leaks. Everything's together. There's nothing coming through. There's no tornado, no storm, no wind blowing. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Sun is out. It's calm. And this building looks solid. So you can sit there and say, you know what? I got faith this roof's going to hold up. Well, that's really not faith, is it? Because, I mean, you can see it's a solid roof. Now, it's like a lot of faith. There's a big old sack spot right over here above Carrie and Chris, and it was pulsating. Is it going to hold up while I'm sitting here? It looks like it might fall, but I'm going to have faith it's not. Faith is something as Christians that we should be operating in at a deeper level, not just saying I have faith, but walking in faith. I mean, we either believe God or we don't. We trust God or we don't. We follow God or we don't. And here's how many of us respond. We'll follow God to a certain point, and then we don't see it changing. We start backtracking or even go the other way or question God. You heard a song, D-Son, Keep Me in Your Will. Shouldn't that be our desire? God sees our whole future laid out. He knows exactly our plans. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. He knows all of that. It's laid out. God sees it all. And there's things in our life that we may think should be moving in a different direction that God is doing for our good. We read it on Wednesday night. If you're on Wednesday night, Romans. All things work together for good to them who are the called according to the purpose of God. The purpose of God. Not the purpose of us. The purpose of God. God's got a purpose in something and we can't see it. There's nothing too big for God. When we see sickness, we ought to be, when we see or feel sickness, we ought to be seeing healing. When we see financial bondage, we ought to be seeing deliverance. We see a broken marriage, we ought to be seeing restoration. Faith is the opposite of not faith, unbelief. And so the enemy paints this picture. This is how it is because this is what you see. Do you realize there are things happening in the spiritual realm that we can't see? Dynamics happening all around us, things taking place, lives being touched and healed and delivered and changed all over the world. God is moving. And he's moving in a realm that we can't see with these eyes. We just take it for granted. It is what it is. What does God say about it? Where does God come into the equation? Now, I understand that we all have prayed for things that haven't happened the way we wanted to, including me. I pray people that we loved, and you know what? They died. I mean, on the earth, I mean. We have prayed for situations, and they didn't work out the way we wanted to. Me and Melly have lost so many close people the last 4 or 5 years in our lives. So many people. We prayed for them, laid hands on them. But you know what? God is still God, regardless of the result I see. And my faith is not, and you know what? Not one time have I questioned, man, if I just would have prayed a little longer, she wouldn't have died. Or if I'd have done something a little bit different, she'd still be here. God, what did I do wrong? That's the trick of the enemy to try to question that. God is still God, and if our faith's in him, we have to trust him even when it don't work out the way we thought it should. Okay, God, you're still God. And I trust you know exactly what you're doing. You know what that gets us? It gets us to a deeper level of trust, and we can accept that. Not once had I ever said that, you know, we know the devil's the destroyer of life. We know that. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So everybody that blames God for everything is don't know what the Bible says. God's not a destroyer. God's a life giver. And even when those that pass on from here die, if they're his children, they live. Unless a seed is first planted, it cannot live. Unless it first die. So in the human form, as people, God's people begin to die in the earth, they're living forevermore on the other side. The seed has to first die. Is there anything too big for God? We limit God on so many. And here's why we limit God. Because we try to think. We think God thinks like we think. And he doesn't. We look at things in our human small pea brain. And for us to think we're so smart. We're not smart, church. None of us are. Not even me. We're not smart. There's so much we don't know. There's so much we don't understand. And if we could just trust the Lord and say, God, here I am. I'm going to trust you regardless. We need to trust God for who he is and not for what people say he is. And that's what I get tired of hearing. Well, now, preacher, you know God. Sometimes God. Now, look, don't be talking. Do you know God that good? Who are you to say what God thinks? I'm not going to believe what I hear you say about God. I'm going to believe what the Word says about God. His Word says he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not changed. He says, I change not. The same God that delivered Moses can deliver you. The same God that delivered Samson can deliver you. The same God that delivered Daniel can deliver you. The same God that opened the barren womb can open your barren womb. The same God that slew the giant can slay your giant. The same God that walked on the water can cause you to walk on the water. The same God that raised Lazarus out of the dead can raise you out of your death. He's not changed. How dare people start saying, God, don't move that way no more. Just because you got a sour puss face with no faith and no motivation and you're mad at life because you don't have what you want, you blame God. I am tired of that. God is not the fault of your problem. God is the remedy for your problem. God's the cure for your problem. God is everything to you. Don't blame God for stuff you don't have. When we have faith in God, we'll have desires of our heart. When we trust Him and stand in His promises and say, God, here I am, and I'm trusting You. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to sway. I'm going to stand in Your promises of what Your Word says. God is not the cause of your problem. He is our solution. And I thank God He found me. Let's read Jeremiah. Let me get back up here for just a minute. I'll be back down. Stay close. Jeremiah 32. Now, before we get in this, we're going to start with verse 17. But I want to give you a prelude of what's happening. Kind of an odd story, maybe, to some of you if you haven't heard the story. Israel was being taken captive by the Chaldeans. They were under attack, under siege. And Jeremiah is in prison. The prophet Jeremiah is in prison. Why is he in prison? Because he told the king that they're going to be taken over. You're going to be taken over. The nation is going to be turned over to the Chaldeans. And you, king, are going to be taken away and lose your place. He didn't like that. He imprisoned Jeremiah. Well, there was a piece of property that Jeremiah's uncle had, or cousin, or somebody in the family, and he didn't have the money to buy it. Now, back in the old days, they had what they called a right of inheritance, that you could, if you had a family member, they could go pay off a debt or buy something in your stead and secure it for the family. So there's this piece of property that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah to buy. Well, then the cousin came, or uncle, whoever it was, came to him, says, can you buy this piece of land? He said, I'll buy it. He's in prison. He said, I'll buy this property. The Lord spoke to him to buy this property. Now, what's all this got to do with how about my message? Think about this. Who would buy a piece of property in a nation or a land that was being taken over? I mean, we wouldn't do that. I mean, he wasn't going to have it anyway. Made no sense to buy this land. Why am I buying a land in the middle of this takeover? I'm not going to have it anyway. But God spoke to him to do it. Now, let's start with verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and even of this day and in Israel, and among other men hath they made thee a name as at this day, and has brought the people forth out of the land of Israel, out of Egypt, with signs and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now let's stop here just for a second. We know what God did for Israel. He gave them a land that wasn't theirs. He made them a people that wasn't their people. He created an opening for them they didn't have. He led them out of prison, out of slavery, out of bondage, into this land flowing with milk and honey. Now all of a sudden this milk and honey is being taken away from them. Doesn't seem very fair. Why? Here's why it's being taken away. Verse 23. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not the voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest to do. Therefore hath thou caused all of this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts, they are come to the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They fight against it because the sword of the famine and of the pestilence, and what thou hast spoken came to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said to me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord saying unto Jeremiah, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Makes no sense to buy this piece of land. But why? Because God had a promise. And the promises of God cannot be altered or changed when he promises them. So he's telling Jeremiah, go ahead and buy it. It looks bad now. Don't look like it makes no sense to the head. I mean, if you go look at a piece of land today and it's flooded and it's just nasty and it's a terrible piece of land and God says buy it, you'd be like, Lord, really? Buy it. Why? Just buy it. Some things God tells us to do makes no sense to our intellect, but it's all for a purpose. And he's seeing, will we follow him and will we trust him? Will we obey him? Is there anything too hard for God to do? So Jeremiah did buy it. Now skip down to verse 42. For time's sake, we're going to get down to 42. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Now think about this. Aren't you glad you can believe the promises of your father more than you can your children? You ever heard your kids say, I promise, Dad? Yeah, right. I mean, I'm stepping out of the way in my house. Whatever. Yeah, promise. Don't mean a whole lot. But man, God's promises does. We are the heirs of Abraham. I'll be talking about that later. You're right. We're the heirs of Abraham. We are still benefiting from the promise God made to Abraham to call him out of a country and put him in a place he wouldn't know. That's what he's done for us, church. We've been called out of hell and death and the grave into a place flowing with milk and honey. We have heard the gospel. We have seen the light of Jesus. The revelation of Christ has been revealed to us. It's been revealed to us because we are the seed of the Abrahamic covenant. We are the receiving children of the promise made to him that your seed shall inherit the earth, that you shall go on forever and ever, and your seed shall lie. It's still happening. We are descendants of that seed of Christ showing himself of who he was in the earth. So here's this land. Told him to buy it. He did. Now he's telling him, I'm going to restore. Yeah, it's going to be captive for a while. And this applies to us in this sense. You may be in a place now of captivity. You may feel bound. You may have been in a place that you feel very unsettled or very unsure. You feel in a place God's not, maybe you feel like God's got you in a place you don't deserve. You don't understand it. A lot of questions. Remember the promises of God. The promises of God will be realized in you. And what he has spoken, what he has ordained, what he has set forth, what he has predestinated, what he has preplanned will come to pass in the right season for your life. And if we could trust God in every season we're in, you know, Don talked a couple weeks ago about it's easy to believe God when things are great. That's easy. I mean, man, you know, the money's rolling in, the bills are paid, you know, your wife still looks hot. Hey, life's good. You know, the kids actually came home. I mean, life's good. And you're like, man, Lord, you're faithful. God, I love you. You're telling everybody in the world Monday morning, man, just trust God, man. My life's blessed. Trust God. Trust God. And then the storm comes. The rain falls. The bad news comes. Whatever it is. The sickness hits. The financial collapse. The job loss. Whatever happens, a storm comes. And all of a sudden, this tells us everything, doesn't it? Doesn't it really tell us everything? Where does our faith lie? Does it lie in the job we lost? Does it lie in the disease diagnosed? Does it lie in the wayward child? Does it lie in the broken relationship? Where does our faith lie? It'll tell us pretty quick where our faith's at. Because if our faith's in God, this will be our testimony. You're still God, Lord, and I'm trusting you. Yeah, this door's closed. I don't understand it. I'm upset about it, but I trust you. So, God, if you close this door, it's for a purpose, your purpose in my life. If this has come against me, God, your purpose is being realized, and I will come through this victorious because my faith's in you. I said last Sunday that I know God's going to begin to give people, I feel this in my spirit, that God's going to begin to give his people such an inner peace they've not had before, an inner peace to begin to face things that are rising up, nationally, globally, and personally, to be able to face what happens. Understand this, no matter what happens 2 weeks from Tuesday, God is still the boss. No matter what happens, do not be discouraged by any result. The purpose of God will be realized. Guarantee that. So what do? We trust God. We don't argue about it. We don't bicker about it. We don't have political fights at the water cooler on Monday morning about it. We just say, you know what? My guy didn't win, but I'm still a winner because my God's in control. So I trust God. God already knows what's going to happen. God already knows what's going to happen 2 weeks. God already knows the direction of our nation. God already knows what's going to happen. We've been talking about the Middle East. Been talking about it's getting ready to break wide. I've been talking about that for a while. Go get ready to break wide open. Here on the news yesterday, doing their first training in Israel. We see this sending 1,000 troops, I think it was, to Israel to do a practice training to help. I'm telling you, don't let none of that put fear in you, because we're in Christ. And my faith is in him, that no matter what the sound of music sounds like to make us bow, we stand on him. And we declare he is truth and he is the only way. There's nothing too big for God. Nothing. You may be at an impossible crossroads right now. You see no way out. You've got to look unto him. That's your way out. You may be in a place that you've lost your faith. You've lost your hope. Some of you are in such a dry, dead season. I could blow on you and dust would come off of you. It's how dry you are spiritually. You don't have to be dry like that no more. The water of God is here to fill and to pour and to rain upon you again. We go through seasons, church. We go through droughts and we go through dry times, but there's nothing too big for our God. God can move any mountain. God can open any door. God can heal any sickness. God can bless any family. God can restore any relationship. God can save any rebellious person. God is God, and he doesn't change. There's nothing too big for God. We need to begin to take our problems and take our battles and give them to the Lord and say, I'm not going to fight no more. What's happening is we are trying to push our own doors open. And I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about for us, us good Christians that love the Lord, that love Jesus. We still are trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to push every door open and make it happen instead of just standing still and letting God be who he is in our lives. And the moment we begin to stand still and turn over to God, we'll see God move. He wants the glory. He wants the glory. If we do it ourselves, who gets the glory? What do we tell him? Yeah, I did this. No. We need to tell you what God did. God moved this mountain. God changed this situation. God slew that giant. God did this. God, it wasn't anything to do with you. It was the faith you had in God. Faith, an inward conviction of an outward result, something you expect is going to happen. And you expect it so much that there's an inner peace in you that you don't even question. It's there. For those promises that you've put before God, those seeds you've called before God, congregation, for your family, for your children, for your finances, for your healing, whatever it is, for those promises, for those things you have put before God, understand he is faithful and he is big enough and powerful enough and strong enough to bring all those things into your life. Trust him. Trust is hard to do because we want results now instead of waiting. As we wait, God is moving. Understand that. Times we don't see him doing anything, he's actively working on our behalf to fulfill the purpose in our lives. Do I wish God moved on my timetable? I do, but you know what? It'd be all messed up. It's kind of like if the moon shifted just a few degrees, the ocean would be like, what, a monsoon or something. Lord, could you move the moon over just about a half an inch according to my finger scale? Just a little bit so I can see that bird right there. Just move it up just a little bit. Then all of a sudden, the world destroyed. I mean, God knows what he's doing. He got the moon in the right position for a reason. It's perfect. He has us in the right position. Just trust him. For strongholds that you can't get free from, for sins you can't seem to shake, for weaknesses you just can't seem to break, trust God. Trust God. Say, God, you see these shackles, and I need them removed. God, I need them unlocked. I need them. I want to be set free. And I can't do it myself. I know I have a problem. I know I'm in trouble. I know I'm in deep. And God, I need your deliverance and your healing. I need that in my life. And let him begin to take those shackles off. Trust him. There's nothing too big for God. Don't give up. And I want to tell you something else. We need to speak the word of God into our situations. And quit speaking doubt and fear and negativity and wrong words. All that's doing is just empowering the enemy in our lives. We need to speak what God's word says. See, I dedicated all three of my children to the Lord when they were babies. Gave them to Jesus. They're yours. So when I don't always see the result of that, you know what I do? I remind myself of what I did. They're yours, God. And your promise will be realized. It's because I don't see what I want to see. Don't mean it ain't there. It's there. There's a lot of things you don't know about me because you can't see it, but it's there. So I have to remind myself of what I did and say, God, I gave them to you. Now this child is yours. Lord, I gave this to you, and now this is yours. And what we need to learn to do is release it into God's hands and leave it there and say, God, it's yours. I trust you. And one day, you'll get a phone call. One day, you'll get a knock. One day, the door's going to open, and it'll be the right time for your life in the right moment. God moves in seasons, church. It's not our seasons, it's his seasons. That's how God moves in his seasons. We're about to enter a brand new season this year. Nationally and worldwide, a new season. And we need to pray and seek the face of God. But then we need to accept it is the plan of God of the outcome. And say, God, I trust you. And God, I'm going to follow you. And I'm not going to let the enemy come into my life and keep destroying. We have power, church, over the devil through Jesus Christ. But when we're always giving him credit, we're not going to break free. There's nothing too big for God. God loves you. God is for you. And God wants to heal you. Whatever it is broken. He wants to repair and fix that which is broken. Trust him. Believe in him. Jeremiah bought a piece of land he knew he probably would never see in his lifetime for him. But he trusted God because God said, I'm going to restore it back. There are gifts and seeds inside of many of you that have not yet rose to the top that God is transitioning right now. And as you let go and trust God and quit trying to fix it yourself and put it in God's hands. And I'm going to tell you something else we need to do. This is for somebody right now. It's felt as my spirit quickened. You need to listen to what God's telling you. Listen to it. No matter how hard it may seem, how bad it may hurt, you need to listen to it. That's God speaking to you clearly. Listen to it. People always want a great big sign. We all do that. We're humans. We want a sign. You know, we pray for something. And God, if this is your will, I don't know, let a rainbow appear in my bedroom at 3:32 in the morning with four different colors, purple, black, white, yellow, and green, and let the rainbow say, ha-ha, Lucky Charms. Let it say that. That's what we pray. That's our sign. And then when that don't happen, well, God ain't in it. Understand, God gives us signs through his voice. Trust it. When God speaks to you, trust it. You know God's voice if you're his child. You know his voice. I know my parents' voice. They're my parents. I know their voice. I know Melanie's walk. When she's clicking along, I know it's her walk. Because I know her. We know his voice. Listen to what God is telling you and quit fighting it. That's why it's not working. Trust it. There's nothing too big for God. When you leave here today, give it to him. It's in your hands. I'm done with it. not about me. Church, it's not about us. Don't let spiritual people tell you you're not blessed because you're not doing something right. If we can't do anything right. We can't do anything right. That's why Jesus came. That's why the blood was spilt. Now I'm right because of him, not because of what I do. Because of what he did. I am righteous in him and him alone because he paid a price I could never pay. And he secured that for eternity in my life. And now I can rest in the sureness that I'm his child. He is my father. I am covered by the blood, highly favored and blessed everywhere that I go, not because of me, but because of the one who came and the one who gave. I'm righteous in him. Let that... We need to become more righteous conscious, this so sin conscience. And what I mean by that, don't misunderstand this. I'm not saying we don't care what we do. We do. What I'm saying is we're always concentrating on what we got to do to stay right with God when we can do nothing to stay right with God. I could join a monk tomorrow, give up television, internet, woman, food, drink. I could give up all of these things. I could go to a mad scientist and say, I want you to take every wrong thought out of my head so when I look at a nun, I ain't going to go, And they could just brainwash me. So I'm just walking around the monastery like this. A nun could have her, hey, baby, don't know what is, does not compute. I mean, I could just be brainwashed. But you know what? It wouldn't make me one inch closer to God. None. I could shout and dance and talk in tongues till I'm blue in the face. It makes me no closer to the kingdom of God. And so for us to think we've got to do all these things, and we've got to get this out of our head. Yeah, we live right. Of course we live right. But we live right because we love him. And we live right because we know what grace has really done. My God, I escaped hell because of what you did. I live for you because I love you. I married Amelia because I love her. I know I always say it's cheaper to keep her. That's not the truth, I promise. I stay with Melanie because I love her. I want to please her. I want her to be happy with me. You know, that's why I shaved this. You got tired, you know, I shaved it. As Christ loved the church, so much you love your wives, you give yourself for her. Forget she can have bright orange hair. I got to shave this. That's fine. I love her. So she says, I don't like kissing that. Me want some sugar, me shave. Me caveman. Me like sugar. I want to please Melanie. Because I love her. Not because, you know, people say, man, you know, especially guys, us men. No small children here, right? Not too small, okay. Some men, you know, man, if you could cheat on your wife and get away with it, would you? We hear that talking around the coffee shop, right? Man, wouldn't you like to be able to, if you knew you would never get caught, wouldn't it be nice? But see, for someone that loves their spouse, it'd be miserable. Because you'd be telling the whole time, I'm not enjoying this. Because I'm thinking about my wife. If you really love someone, you wouldn't want to do it if you get away with it. Because you love her. So for guys that say that, I got a question, guys. Where's your love at? Because you're not getting away with it. You're defying your body. You're breaking a marriage covenant. And you're breaking a covenant with God. So I love Melanie. And I want to please her. You know, I straighten the house up. Or I'll go get her, fill her car up with gas. Or I'll do little things. And, you know, sometimes I'll bring her a little Snicker bar home. And I'm in the grocery store line just for her. Say hi to her, Ashley. Put it up. Because I love her. I love her. Not one time I've been in the food line, in the checkout line, I ever thought to get a sticker for my girlfriend. It's always been Melanie. So make sure y'all are with me. Every time it's been Melanie. Because I love her. We love God that way. And because we love God, we're going to live right. So when I say sin constant, I'm talking about we don't care what we do. I mean, you know, Doc, you still got to behave. It don't give you license what I said to go do what you want to. It just means that because Doc knows how much Jesus loves him, he lives for him because he wants to. Man, God, and Doc does. God, I love you. Not surprised he got on his RV. RVing for God. RVing for Jesus. So nothing's too big for God. So put it in his hands today and quit trying to battle it yourself. You won't win that fight. Let God have it, whether it's sickness, whether it's a family issue, whether it's fear, whether it's just whatever it is, whether it's addiction, whatever you're battling today, let God have it. Nothing too big for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you there is nothing too big for you. As you had Jeremiah buy a piece of land when it made no sense, you had it for a reason, that land was going to be restored again back unto Israel. God, we may be in a place now that seems bad and seems lonely and we seem lost. But God, you have a plan for us and you have a purpose for us. Let us trust you and be faithful in what you're speaking to us. You will, your promises and your plan will be realized in us. Thank you for that, Lord. There is nothing too big for you. And I speak into this congregation here this morning for every person that is battling sickness or disease or fear or poverty or discouragement or a broken home or a rebellious child, whatever the giant that stands before them is right now, I decree your blessing and your victory and your promises be realized, that every sickness be healed, every broken home be restored, every rebellious child come home, every ounce of fear be relieved, every piece of sorrow be restored. In the name of Jesus, God, we declare your word over this body as we are here together as one, that there is nothing too big for you, that when it looks impossible, the possibility shows up in the right time and in the right moment. Thank you, Lord, that there is nothing too big for you. Thank you, Lord, there's no problem we can bring before you that you say, I can't fix that or I can't handle that. See someone else. God, thank you. Everything we stand in today, you are able to deliver us and set us free and bring victory to our situation. Bless this body. Bless this congregation. Open up doors. Open up avenues. Open up new windows, Lord, where you will flow into people's lives. God, I pray for spiritual dryness to be watered right now, that people will break out of their spiritual bondage and break free and break loose and be restored and walk again by the rivers of living water, and let them feel your presence flow upon them even now as your presence and Holy Spirit is here. Let them feel that and embrace that. That their dry land is watered. Their desolate womb is restored. Lord, their charred mind has peace in the name of Jesus. That every addiction, every stronghold that is binding people's lives, it be broken by the name of Jesus. It be broken and lives are set free. God, that seeds you have planted, that they will be realized and they will come forth. Gifts you have put in will begin to be manifest and begin to flow. And they'll begin to walk in what you've called them to walk in without hesitation, without reservation. But they'll declare the gifts you've given them are for now, this season, this time. Thank you, God, that you don't change. And thank you, you are the same forever. Thank you that there's nothing too big for you. And we give all of our battles to you now, Lord. We give them to you. We want to walk out of here free. We want to walk out of here free, the yoke being off and the yoke now being on you, God, for you to fight our battle and you to take care of things. We thank you. We praise you, Father, for who you are. Let our faith be in who you are, not what people say you are, but in who you say you are. Thank you, Jesus, for your touch and your love and your mercy and the message this morning of your word. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And the church said, amen.